It was Muldoon's view that some dinosaurs were too dangerous to be kept in a park setting. In part, the danger existed because they still knew so little about the animals. For example, nobody even suspected the Dilophosaurs were poisonous until they were observed hunting indigenous rats on the island, biting the rodents and then stepping back to wait for them to die. And even then, nobody suspected the Dilophosaurs could spit until one of the handlers was almost blinded by spitting venom. After that, Hammond had agreed to study Dilophosaur venom, which was found to contain 7 different toxic enzymes. It was also discovered that the Dilophosaurs could spit a distance of 50 feet. Since this raised the possibility that a guest in a car might be blinded, management decided to remove the poison sacs. The vets had tried twice on 2 different animals without success. No one knew where the poison was being secreted, and no one would ever know until an autopsy was performed on a Dilophosaur, and management would not allow one to be killed. Muldoon worried even more about the velociraptors. They were instinctive hunters, and they never passed up prey. They killed even when they weren't hungry. They killed for the pleasure of killing. They were swift, strong runners and astonishing jumpers. They had lethal claws on all 4 limbs. One swipe of a forearm would disembowel a man, spilling his guts out. And they had powerful, tearing jaws that ripped flesh instead of biting it. They were far more intelligent than the other dinosaurs, and they seemed to be natural cage breakers. Every zoo expert knew that certain animals were especially likely to get free of their cages. Some, like monkeys and elephants, could undo cage doors. Others, like wild pigs, were unusually intelligent and could lift gate fasteners with their snouts. But who would suspect that the giant armadillo was a notorious cage breaker? Or the moose? Yet a moose was almost as skillful with its snout as an elephant with its trunk. Moose were always getting free. They had a talent for it. And so did velociraptors. Raptors were at least as intelligent as chimpanzees. And like chimpanzees, they had agile hands that enabled them to open doors and manipulate objects. They could escape with ease. And when, as Muldoon had feared, one of them finally escaped, it killed 2 construction workers and maimed a 3rd before being recaptured. After that episode, the visitor lodge had been reworked with heavy barred gates, a high perimeter fence, and tempered glass windows, and the raptor holding pen was rebuilt with electronic sensors to warn of another impending escape. Muldoon wanted guns as well, and he wanted shoulder-mounted LAW missile launchers. Hunters knew how difficult it was to bring down a 4-ton African elephant, and some of the dinosaurs weighed 10 times as much. Management was horrified, insisting there be no guns anywhere on the island. When Muldoon threatened to quit and to take his story to the press, a compromise was reached. In the end, 2 specially built laser-guided missile launchers were kept in a locked room in the basement. Only Muldoon had keys to the room. Those were the keys Muldoon was twirling now. "I'm going downstairs," he said. Arnold, watching the control screens, nodded. The 2 land cruisers sat at the top of the hill, waiting for the T-Rex to appear. "Hey," Dennis Nedry called from the far console, "as long as you're up, give me a Coke, okay?" Grant waited in the car, watching quietly. The bleating of the goat became louder, more insistent. The goat tugged frantically at its tether, racing back and forth. Over the radio, Grant heard Lex say in alarm, "What's going to happen to the goat? Is she going to eat the goat?"
"I think so," someone said to her, and then Ellie turned the radio down.
Then they smelled the odor, a garbage stench of putrefaction and decay that drifted up the hillside toward them. Grant whispered, "He's here." "She," Malcolm said. The goat was tethered in the center of the field, 30 yards from the nearest trees. The dinosaur must be somewhere among the trees, but for a moment Grant could see nothing at all. Then he realized he was looking too low. The animal's head stood 20 feet above the ground, half concealed among the upper branches of the palm trees. Malcolm whispered, "Oh my God, she's as large as a bloody building.